your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Zacharias. Zechariah is the second to the last book in the Old Testament. It's real easy to find, Zechariah, the 9th chapter. And please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Zechariah, the 9th chapter, we will just read one verse, verse number 9. Says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the fold of an ass. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. I thank you so much that you certainly have preserved it here for us. We have it before us today. We thank you for it. And Lord, once again, thank you for this special day. Now, Lord, we just need to go aside a few moments and we just need to preach your word and bring the message we believe you want us to bring. And Father, we trust that it'll be certainly uplifting your name. And Lord, it'll glorify you and all that's said and done this morning. And so, Father, we just ask that you take it and use it and Lord, guide it to every single heart, the need of that heart. We trust if there's anyone here that's unsaved, never been truly converted, born again, we trust that this will be the day that that happens. We pray also, Father, for Christians, we as God's children, help us, Lord, this morning to be better for you than we've ever been before. And I want to thank and praise you for your wonderful goodness and kindness to us. And I ask you, Lord, the will of God be done here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning which I've entitled The Colt That Carried Jesus. Back in the Old Testament, there was a prophecy given. I just read that to you. And he was instructing Israel to rejoice. This was going to be a time of rejoicing when Jesus came. Time of rejoicing, and Israel could look and rejoice, and that's what he instructed them to do. He even told them to rejoice greatly. And then, of course, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to behold the one that's coming. The word behold there, and I'm sure you're familiar with that, but it's not just a matter of giving a casual glance, a look over at someone, but to behold who he was going to send was to look upon him intently. To view him, to look upon him, and keep your eyes upon him, and recognize who's coming. Because he told them, he said, this is the king. Israel had many kings, but this was the true king. This was the king that had been promised them. So he said, behold him. And then also in that verse, he said, he cometh unto thee. You know what that means? He basically means this, he's coming to give you help. It's not a matter he's coming to be ministered to. He's not coming just for himself. He's coming for them. He's coming to help them. And then he also said he's just. And of course we know Jesus Christ is just. He's perfect. He's right. And he came to do the will of his heavenly Father. We also says he has salvation. He comes bringing salvation. And he was going to be the Savior, the Redeemer for Israel and certainly for us also. And then also, he said he was lowly. He said he's lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt or foal of an ass. And he said he's lowly, and that simply means in the eyes of the world, he was poor and unimportant and afflicted. Now, we know he wasn't just that, but that's what he was to the world. He came here, and the Bible says that he was riding upon a colt. I want to preach this morning on the subject of the colt that carried Jesus. I want you to go with me over to the fulfillment of that prophecy over in the book of Mark, the 11th chapter. And I want to read some verses there because we find here the fulfillment of the prophecy that was given here in Zechariah. In Mark, the 11th chapter, he says in verse 1, and when they came near at night to Jerusalem and to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And said unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you enter into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him thither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways meet, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed and cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. This is the fulfillment here of the scripture, the prophecy that was made in Zechariah. And we find him because it spoke here, as I told you earlier, it spoke of his lowliness, him riding upon this colt. You don't have to turn there, but I want to just turn over to the book of Exodus and read one verse of scripture for you. The Bible says in the book of Exodus, 13th chapter, 13th verse, And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. The Bible tells us that this colt here, according to Jewish history, according to the word of God, the colt that came and was there ready to carry Jesus Christ, had to have been redeemed by a lamb. If he was to live, if that colt was to live, there had to be redemption. There had to be a lamb that died in his place. Thank God that's true today. If there's going to be a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ, you first must be born again. You first must be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Any servant that's going to serve God has got to be born again. He's got to be washed in that precious blood. It's a great price that was paid for you and I. A great price. Jesus Christ paid it upon the cross of Calvary for you and I. So that's why we're here today. That's why we can say we're God's children today. That's why we can say we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Miss Pope here today, Miss Sarah, can say I'm a servant of God today, because she's been washed in the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I notice this lamb there being tied up in its proper place, there right where God appointed for it to be. And let me just say, God had a purpose for this lamb, a special purpose for it. And I want to say to you, don't miss the purpose God has for your life. You know, I look at this and I don't know what that colt did the rest of the time. I know he was probably fed and kept and maybe used. But the main purpose that God had for that colt that day was to carry Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I believe with all of my heart, every person that God makes, he has a purpose for their life, a very special purpose. Sister Pope here, her purpose was to basically for most of her life work with the sword of the Lord and carry Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through the Word of God for all of those 45 years. But God has a purpose for you. There's a reason for you being, and don't miss it. You missed that. If that colt had been off somewhere else, the owner had not had it in that perfect place, that colt would have missed the whole purpose for his life. And I say to you, please, 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 please don't miss the purpose of your life. God has a purpose for you, and he wants to use you for it. I notice another thing in verse number 2, he says, And saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied. May I say something to you? As long as that colt was tied, he never could fulfill the purpose that God had for him. I want to say something to you this morning. You know, whether we understand it or not, before salvation, we are lost and we are tied up. We are bound in sin. We're in the bondage of sin. And before we can ever do anything for God, before we can ever become a wonderful child of God, we're going to have to be cut loose. We're going to have to be cut loose from the bondage of sin. And I say to you, if you should be here this morning and you're not born again, you don't know for sure that you're ready for heaven, you need salvation. You need the Son of God to forgive you. You need to come to Him and put your faith and your trust in the Son of God. You need that above all. You need to be cut loose from the bondage of sin. You need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Not only that, we also know that every Christian needs to be cut loose from worldly habits and sins before you can ever be a servant of God Almighty. We've got to understand this. God uses clean vessels. Clean vessels that are clean, are set free from the worldliness and sin. Do we understand that? God uses those vessels like Sister Sarah here a long time ago turned her back on the world and decided to serve Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, in her application, I got to read that application that you made many years ago to the sword of the Lord. And in the application, she said, I have no other plans than to serve God in a permanent place for the rest of my life. Well, I want to tell you something, what a blessing that is. You see, you got to be turned loose, and there's many Christians today that are tied to this old world system. I mean, they're tied to this world system. They can't get away from it. They are just bound by this world system. If you want to be a servant of God, you got to turn loose from this old world system. You've got to, we talked in our Sunday school class this morning, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you've got to forsake some things. You've got to say no to this old world system. You've got to forsake those things and realize that absolutely nothing belongs to us, that everything we have belongs to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We've got to understand it. We've got to pick up our cross and bear our cross that God has put upon us. And that's the reproach of Jesus Christ. We have to pick it up. We have to bear that cross. We have to forsake. We've got to understand that He must be first in our life. You see, a long time ago, this dear lady here cut loose from the things of this world and decided that Jesus Christ was going to be first. I'm not just bragging on her this morning. That's the way it is with any disciple, any true servant of God. You've got to turn loose from this world. This colt could have never done anything until he was turned loose, cut loose to do the things that God wanted him to do, you see. And I say to you, you see, God's got an intended purpose for you, absolutely an intended purpose, and you've got to be cut loose from this old world so that you can be used how God wants you to be used. Amen. Not only that, if you'll notice in verse number 4 what he says, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. I want you to notice too, also, he was tied where two ways meet. You see, all down through the years, I see it every week in the congregation. I see people making their decision, making their choices in life. And there's always the two ways. The person who is lost has to decide, I want to be saved. I want God's forgiveness upon my life. I got to come to that place where I'm willing to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and be saved and born again. There's them choices, or you can choose the other. You can choose to turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ and not be saved. You can in the end, it's either heaven or hell. It's one of those. It's either we receive Christ so that we'll be ready for heaven, or we don't receive Him and we'll spend an eternity in the devil's hell. You see, there's always a choice. And I say to you, you see, this person, this colt here was a place where the two ways met. Amen. It's a choice. You're here this morning without Jesus Christ, you're making a choice. You say, I'm not going to make a choice. Yes, you will make a choice. You'll make a choice this morning. You can either reject Him or you can accept Him. God loves you and wants you to receive Him as personal Savior, but you will make a choice. But not only that, there's also two ways when it comes to Christian service. Every individual who's going to truly serve God has to make some choices in life. If you want to be a servant of God, you're going to have to make some choices. You're going to have to choose, that's the direction I'm going to go. See, this isn't a part-time thing. People talk about full-time service and all. Let me tell you something. Every Christian that is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is in full-time service. They may not be spending all their time in full-time service, but we ought to be a full-time servant. And we have to make a choice. And if you understand it right, you will make a choice. Am I going to have one foot out here in the world, one foot over here in Christianity? That's not kind of the servant that God wants. He wants servants to make a choice. And you're tied up. There's two ways there. You're going to have to make a decision which direction you're going to go. Now, and also, if you notice in verse number 3, he tells us why he needed to be loosed. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. You say, Brother Ross, why do I need to be cut loose? Because the Lord hath need of thee. Let me just say something to you, folks. The Lord hath need of you. If you're lost, the Lord hath need of you. He wants you to be born again. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be a child of God, to spend eternity with him. That's what the Lord wants. He has need of you. That's why he come. He comes seeking and saving that which was lost. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be born again. He has need of you for the rest of eternity. To spend with him in the ages of eternity, God has a need for you. And let me say, as a child of God, the Lord hath need of thee. The Lord hath need of thee. There's so much work to be done. You know, this fooling around and just halfway Christianity, that's not what God needs. God needs servants that'll just give their heart and their life to him for the rest of their life. Like a decision that Sister Sarah made years and years ago, I'm just going to serve God, and has carried through that and followed that through for the rest of her life. You understand what I'm saying? God has need of her. God has need of you. I don't care who you are, God has need of you. And he wants you to serve him. He wants you to decide that that's the direction I'm going to go. See, there's so much work to be done. Oh, there's so many souls to be saved. Amen. We've seen folks saved here quite regularly, but let me say to you, there's so many more out there that need saved. We haven't even begun to finish. Do you understand it? You need to decide that the Lord has need of thee. Christian, do you know the Lord has need of you? To be a witness for him? To honor him with your life, every day of your life? He has need of you. How else is the world going to know about him? Amen. I remember sitting in Brazil, Indiana, out in the country, across where we bought a place, and that's where we live. My wife and I and family live. And I remember across the road from us was a family that loved God. You know, that's one of the reasons this preacher's standing here today. It's because of a family that loved God. That I mean, when it come church time, no, they went. You walk over in their house and the Bible was open on their table. They talked about the Lord on a regular basis. No, you know why this preacher's here this morning? Yeah, I know it's because of Jesus. I know that. But you know why the family's here? You know why Don and I are saved? Because there was a faithful servant across from us, a faithful family that cared enough to just walk with God. You know why our children got saved? You know why our grandchildren are saved? You know why that? It all begun back there with a faithful servant who just loved God. No, that's where it all begun. And you think for one reason, you see, the Lord don't have need of you. The Lord has need of you to be a faithful servant, a faithful witness for him. You know, there's people watching you. There's people who lives across from you, whether it's directly across or not, but there's people that lives by you that is watching, that is looking. Do you understand? You can't ever be the right kind of testimony unless you establish the right kind of witness. Amen. So the Lord has need of thee, folks. Each and every one of us, the Lord has need of thee. Now look in verse number 5. He says, and a certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you, loosing the colt? I think that's very interesting, because there always be, let me say this, there always will be opposition. There will always be those who stand against. They said, what are you doing, loosing that colt? Bob Ross, what are you doing, getting saved? Now, maybe this didn't happen to you, but when I got saved, I would tell you, there was a lot of people laughed at me, mocked at me, made fun of me, said, you'll be back in a few months. Well, that's been about close to getting near 9 to 40 years, but it's been 39 years, I think, and I'm still not back with them. What I'm saying is, don't you know there's always going to be opposition? There's always going to be those there that mock. Don't you understand that? There always will be. You know, you don't have to worry about that, folks. We're talking about Jesus. Some of you young people that just got saved, you've been born into God's family not very long. There's going to be people make fun of you at school. They'll make fun of you at work or wherever you're at. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to mock at you. But I'm saying there always will be opposition. Amen. But not only in salvation, there'll always be opposition in you serving God. You want to give yourself over to the Lord Jesus Christ and give yourself over as a servant for God for the rest of your life, I want to guarantee you something. There's always going to be opposition. I just know. I don't know, Sister Sarah, I don't know whether you had opposition when you decided to serve God for the rest of your life. I don't know whether family and friends and people tried to talk you out of this. I never talked to you about it, so I don't know. But I know this, they did me. When I said I'm going to quit Andicon Aluminum Company, a good job, good paycheck, I'm going to quit over there. I want to tell you, people called me everything. I mean everything under the sun. Said I was a foolish man. I was silly to quit such a good job. I was silly to walk out of there. I was told all kinds of things. We was told by even some of our family, it was silly for me to quit working over there. I had a good paycheck. I could support my family well. What are you going to do? How are you going to support your family when you're going out here and starting to preach? What are you going to do? Don't you think there's always going to be opposition, you young men? God reaches down and puts his hand on you about preaching the word of God or being servant to the Lord. I want to guarantee you, there's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be those who's going to stand and say, well, what are you loosing the colt for? Always will be. You don't pay attention to them. You'll pay no attention to them whatsoever. You just do what God says. And that's exactly what happened here. Because let me show you in verse number six. He says, and they said unto them, even as Jesus has commanded, and they let them go. You know what he said? He said, you know what? That's what Jesus said. So I'm going to do it. That's years ago. That's what I did. Years ago, I said, that's what God wants me to do for the rest of my life. He wants me to preach the gospel. So you do it. Jesus says, do something, you do it. Amen. Now, we got young people today, though, that just want to do their own thing. They don't want to do what Jesus wants them to do. They want to do their own thing. You understand what I'm saying? You just got to do it. You don't pay no attention to what people say. You just serve God. You just walk with the Lord, no matter what. You say, well, why? Because Jesus said to. Amen. That's the thing we do. So you just got to tell them, that's what Jesus said to do. So that's what I'm going to do. Now look at verse number 7. He said, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. You know, the colt now was ready to be brought to be used by Jesus Christ. Yes, he had been cut loose, and he was going to be used for a specific purpose. He was now ready, and they brought him to Jesus. Oh, so many people need to be brought to the Lord. I never started the message like that, but if you look at it, Jesus sent two disciples to find this colt. Jesus got so much work to be done, and he needs disciples to do it. He needs people out here trying to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. You see, that ought to be the work of our life, the work of our heart. See, just doing what God wants us to do, you see. Why? Because that's what Jesus needs us to do, you see. So he was brought then to Jesus to be used. And then I want to show you something. He became a bearer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a bearer of the glory of God. This is what this colt was called to do. Let me say something, folks. This is what you and I are called to do. We are called to bear the glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message we're to take. The message of salvation, that Jesus loves them and cares for them. If you will watch through this, the whole thing, you'll notice that right here, when the colt came and Jesus sat on him, the colt is never mentioned again. See, what's that mean? That means once Jesus is in your life, he's the purpose of your life, it's not the colt or it's not the bearer of Jesus that matters. It's the one whom we are bearing. You see, we have a very special day today for Miss Sarah, but let me say something to her. Well, she already knows. We already know. It's all about Jesus. We're doing this because God wants us to honor his servants. He wants us to do that. Where honor is due. But folks, we're not uplifting her today. We're uplifting her Savior, who has used her for all of these years. And let me say to you, that's what God wants. God wants the colt that bears the message of Jesus Christ. And that could be a preacher, that could be a deacon, that could be a Sunday school teacher, that could be just a layman out there, no matter what. He wants you to be just the bearer of the wonderful glory of God. He doesn't need you and I to be always looked at and always spoken of. It's about Jesus. You understand? See, that's what we're to do. There's so many today in this old world, and let me say to you, I'm afraid there's preachers out there too wanting glory poured upon them. I'm sorry about that. I apologize if there are those like that. Should never be. It's the glory of God. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom we ought to lift up. Amen? That's the way people are drawn unto Him, if we lift Him up. Amen? Hardly a message goes by at this church that I don't mention the fact we've got to honor Jesus. We've got to lift Him up. He's the one that deserves it, not us. He deserves it. And let me say to you today, even on this special day of honoring a special person, it's because of what Jesus has done in her life. Now I'm saying to you folks, listen, I want you to be like the colt. I want you to be cut loose. I want you to be brought to Jesus. I want you to let him use you to bear the glory of God for the rest of your life. If you're unsaved here today, you're not born again today, I want to say something to you. God wants to save you. No, I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about even baptism. Those are all good things. I'm glad I was baptized. I'm glad I joined a church. And I'm glad that God put in my heart to try to do some good things in this life. But none of those will get you to heaven. You must be born again. Can I ask you today, has there truly been a time when you've been converted? You know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You put your faith, your trust in the Son of God. And that's the only way you'll ever be prepared for heaven. There has to be the time of the new birth. Just as surely as you was born one time, I see you, you see me. I know you was born one time. You know I was born one time. But this is a spiritual birth, a new birth inside, that we have to be born again. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus loves you. Back in 1966, I was born again. I was born in 1939, but I was born again in 1966. I come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. What a wonderful thing it is. Now, are you born again? I'm not talking about did you belong in church. I didn't talk about if you just got baptized. I didn't talk about if you just been trying to be a good person. I didn't say that. I said, are you born again? Are you truly saved? Do you know for sure that if you died today, you're God's child, and you're ready for heaven? Do you know that? If not, oh, I've got some good news. God loves you so much. He wants to save your soul and give you eternal life. He'll do that right this morning. We're going to have an invitation here in just a few moments. God wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants you to be ready for heaven. And then not only that, Christian, those who do know for sure that they're saved and born again, God wants to use you. He wants to use you just like He did that colt that day. He wants to use you. Why don't you get cut loose from these old things of the world? Why don't you come to Jesus and let Him use you? Amen. And bear the glory of God for the rest of your life. Let us pray. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I want to ask you a couple questions. You say, Brother Ross, I know, no doubt whatsoever. I know without a shadow of doubt in my mind, I know for sure that I'm saved. I know there's been that day, truly been that day. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about any of those things. I know for sure Jesus come into my heart, saved my soul. I know for sure that I'm ready for heaven. Can you just raise your hand, please, and let us know that. You know for sure that God has saved your soul. Thank you. You can put it right back down. Thank you so much. You say, Brother Ross, I couldn't raise my hand. Or I just were not sure. I'm not sure whether I'm saved or not. Not sure I'm ready for heaven. But, oh, Brother Ross, I'm concerned about it. All I'm going to ask you to do is just indicate that by the raising of your hand. I will not call your name out. I will not embarrass you in any way. I just want to pray for you. You say, Brother Ross, I'm one of those people. I don't know for sure I'm saved. Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. I want you to pray for me. Please pray for me. You say, Brother Ross, I'm a colt that God could use, but I'm all tied up. I'm tied up and where the two ways meet, and I'm not making the right choice. And I need to be loosed. I need to just trust God and have Him use me for the rest of my life. Say, I'm not being a good servant. I'm not being one that bears the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Brother Ross, will you pray for me this morning? God's touched my heart. Will you pray for me? Thank you so much. I see that hand. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else, please? Others, please. I just want you to pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for your wonderful love for us, your kindness to us. I thank you, Father, for salvation that we can offer this morning through your wonderful name. we can offer unto folk who are not saved to know for sure that they're saved, put their faith and trust in you, and they'll be born into God's family. And I pray also, Father, for those who this morning said, Brother Ross, I'm just not being a good colt. I'm not really being used of God like I should, and I want you to pray for me. Father, there was many hands that went up. I ask you, God, please, to bless them real good. Help them strengthen their Christian life. Help them to turn loose of the things of this old world. And, Father, be brought to you to be used of you for the rest of their life. I pray this in the precious, most wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.